Today's special episode is brought to you by Starting Points, Operationally Curious Questions. Begin pre-event learning with our best-selling Operationally Curious Conversation Starters. Download the app at startingpoints.app or the App Store, and purchase card decks at www.startingpointcards.com.
Well, on today's episode of the Hot Nerd Podcast, I want to talk about a few things that I wish that I would have known. A few things that I wish somebody would have told me way back when I was working internal to an organization starting on this hop journey thing. So let's do it. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Are you still loving the music? Yeah, we changed that up. I changed that up a couple years back. It gave it a facelift. Many of you have been around long enough to remember the OG music that we used to use. I actually recorded that several years prior to the podcast existing, and I just kept it scrolled away on my computer I have no clue, but I found it. I'm like, there we go. There's the music. And this was long before the days when you could just go out and buy these kind of royalty-free clips and different things that many of us in this world now get to utilize. We didn't quite have that. That's kind of a new invention. I have my coffee in hand as we prepare for today's episode. Here we go, the inaugural sip. Yeah, is that... Now, I've got to be completely honest with you. I don't have cold brew. I already drank my cold brew, and I am on the hot coffee today. And I think some of that is because I'm out of Zen, and I haven't got a chance to go out to the store yet. So extra coffee it is to deal with my nicotine withdrawal headache. But this coffee is extra special. I'm drinking it out of my Zach Bagans Haunted Museum mug that I got the last time I went to the Haunted Museum in the beautiful, in the sunny Las Vegas. Yeah, so that's kind of a neat little fun fact as we get started. Before we dive into today's episode, do me a favor, head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. Follow along all places that you can like, share, subscribe, follow, whatever that is where you get to click stuff. You know, you go up there and you click something like a subscribe button or a bell or a check mark or something like that, or a follow button. And then you get to see the stuff that I make. Yeah, like LinkedIn and the platform formerly known as Twitter. I don't do much over there. Instagram, if you want the deep cut, the behind the scenes cut, and TikTok somewhere in between. Usually I upload stuff over there eventually. LinkedIn, YouTube, and what's the other one? LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram. There we go. I told you, this lack of Zen is probably going to make this a rough one for us, y'all. I apologize. But go follow along any place that you can follow along. YouTube has been really popping for me lately. And what I mean by that isn't that I have like thousands upon thousands of subscribers or views or anything like that. But I've been dumping a lot of cool stuff over there. So we're doing like the Sammy and D show where I pull all of these wacky clips and stuff, these funny funnies that I make. We pull those together into a show and drop it over there. I've been doing this 100-day vlogging challenge if you're into that kind of sort of thing. I'm on day like 15. 13, 14, 15, somewhere right along in that space. And you can find all of the just kind of normal hop stuff and shorts and whatever you call them there, shorts, reels. Yeah, it's all kind of there. It's just everything's pretty much just at the Hop Nerd. The easiest way to get a hold of me on LinkedIn is just at Sam Goodman. And last but not least, if you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, my calendar is starting to get a little bit full as we start to move into 2025. We're well off and into it now. And it's going to be a busy spring, looking like a busy summer, even though I try not to keep summer busy, and a busy fall. So if you need a hand, let me know sooner than later. That way we can make sure that the dates that you require are actually available and we can lock those down for you. It's thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can cruise over to the website and just schedule. You can schedule some time right there on the website by clicking book a consult, I think is what it is. And yeah, you can book it at your convenience and it'll pop on your calendar. It will pop on my calendar and we will have a 30-minute conversation about what kind of cool stuff we can do in your organization at your next event, and on and on and on and on. And, oh, yeah, yeah. And don't forget the books. The books are still out there. 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less, the original Safety Suck, Safety Sucks the Manifesto. All that stuff is out there. And I keep getting asked that question. When are you going to write another book? Not anytime soon. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on, more coffee. Not anytime soon. I don't know. I don't like to force it. I'm kind of waiting. I'm waiting. And I'm going to see. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. To be completely transparent with you, I don't know if I got another one in me right now. I'm sure I will at some point. But I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun doing exactly what I'm doing. And there are a lot of great books out there. 10 Ideas and the original Safety Suck series being a part of that. But there's lots and lots and lots of great books out there right now. And I don't know that I need to put one out there right now. So for now, I'm going to keep focusing on what I'm focusing on. Out boots on the ground, spending time with folks, helping them to real deal, real world, operationalize human and organizational performance, spending time going around, having conversations with you guys here, there, and everywhere, from workshops to keynotes and everything in between. I'm having an absolute hoot. I'm going to keep making these videos and getting better and better and better and better and better at that over time. And we're going to keep up with the podcast and anything else that comes along that seems like it's going to be fun and good work, and good work for the right reasons. And if a book emerges somewhere there along the way, then so be it. If not, cool. And with all that being said, oh, last but not least, thanks for being here. Yeah, I forgot to jump in there and say that right at the beginning. But it always means a ton to me that you come and spend a little bit of time talking about human and organizational performance and whatever else we feel like jumping into. So with all of that out of the way, let's jump into today's episode. Well, as you know from the introduction, I wanted to chat briefly, to explore briefly several things that I wish I would have known when I started driving human and organizational performance within the organization that I worked for internally. That's a mouthful, but I hope that makes sense. Things that I wish someone would have maybe told me or said, hey, listen to this. These things. Those things. Yeah, those things. I wish that I would have known, because I needed to be prepared for it. And I figured it out, obviously. And I think as we all figure it out. But I want to throw these out there. Again, just loose thoughts. That's what we do around here. I'm not going to sit down and write a 47-page script that is like, and now let me read this to you. No, we're just going to talk real. So a few things. I think the first thing that I want to throw out there, the first thing, again, starting with this in an organization that had never heard this before and being like the face of this and the crazy person that everyone kind of goes, that crazy guy that thinks we should do safety differently. I can't wait till they fire him. Can you believe it? He said that he believes all incidents are preventable. Can you believe that he doesn't care about safety? Oh, my God, he's a lunatic. He told us that we need to get rid of those pyramids that we've been hanging on the wall with all those numbers in them and how we've used those to be like our performance metrics. And now we pointed those things. Oh, he's such an idiot. We need to just fire him and go back to counting observation cards and pre-job briefs because, you know, we're the best safety professionals ever because we count numbers and tell people to draw harder. Yeah, those kind of things, yeah. But the very first thing that I wish that I would have known is that the resistance will be fierce. The resistance will be fierce. Right back to my little whisper rant. How's the whisper rant? How was that? That was new. That was a new something. I just pulled that out of my hat. What do you think about that? Whisper ranting. those kind of things. Those are the conversations that you get, you know, from your peers, other safety practitioners. You get that from leaders. You get that from all over, especially up through the organization. I remember those vividly. Those never bothered me as much, that being labeled as like the heretic, the crazy, the sacrilegious, insane person that's talking differently about safety. Don't you know that to get better at safety, we just do the same old things we've always done, just harder, better, faster? Come on. The one that hurt the most in that was hearing that from peers. And a lot of times peers that I respected quite a bit and still do. And don't get me wrong. I'm not the hold stuff against you kind of person. It's just not who I am. But yeah, when you would start having those conversations, I can think to me and several folks in the little safety teams that I was in, and, you know, before getting into leadership positions and things like that, me and those folks that were more closely aligned on this stuff, just getting beat hard and feathered, like every time we would bring this stuff up at a meeting, we would get our safety teams together to talk about this stuff, and they'd be like, "You're ridiculous. No, we just need to punish people more. You just don't understand." Like, you know the conversations, but the resistance will be fierce. It will be fierce. And I kind of want to say that it's more so the farther you go up through the organization, but that's not always true. But generally speaking, let's just say generally speaking, the resistance gets fiercer the farther you go up. Because typically I have found, and I'm sure all of our experiences have differed a bit on this, but typically, the nearer I get to work, the more this stuff tends to make sense. Like, yeah, like when we start talking about this stuff, like nearer to the work or like at the coalface, it sounds more like, well, duh, I've been trying to tell you this for years. So like, of course, are you finally awake and listening? Thank you. The farther you go up, it sounds like WTH, WTF, what the hell, what the freak, what's wrong with you? You clearly are a bad safety professional because you're supposed to be telling people to get to zero, and you're saying that not all events are predictable, that they're not eliminatable, that bad stuff's going to happen, that really? Oh my God, you're telling us not to do this. The resistance is fierce. I wish somebody would tell me that. And I know I'm kind of rambling a bit, but it's a big one because when you first start this, you've kind of had that moment, that pop moment, that light bulb moment at some point where you have seen the light of a better way. Yeah, of a bit of a better way. We're not trashing everything we've done, but we're growing, we're evolving, we're moving towards doing things a bit differently. And you're passionate, and you're excited, and you know the positive good, the greatness that this is going to bring about in your organization, the changes in lived experience that those residing in your organization will experience. And then you walk into that room and people go, "You're an idiot. Shut up and sit down. We will never do this here." Yeah, that's rough. The resistance will be fierce. And you must be prepared to weather that resistance. You must be prepared to have uncomfortable conversations with people that have far, far larger titles than you do, with people that sit on much higher floors and wear much fancier shoes than you do. You must be willing to go toe-to-toe with them and have that conversation. You must be willing if you're going to find yourself in that chair driving that change. You must be willing. So I think this leads to another bullet point that I'd kind of jotted out a few thoughts before I went into this one, because, again, I wanted to share a few kind of key things. These were shower thoughts. I was reflecting on this as I was thinking about what to chat with you about the other day before coming in here and doing the podcast. The next one is that you'll get labeled, dismissed. You can even hurt your career. .. And you've got to be okay with that. Uh-huh. Yeah. So those two are connected. The resistance is fierce, and you'll get labeled, dismissed, and maybe hurt your career. You know, the work worlds that I come from, I'm just going to say that it's the utility space, most of it. I was convinced, along with several peers, and I'm saying this half-jokingly, so don't take me too seriously when I say this, but I was convinced that people got paid to do as little as possible in certain roles. And our jobs being one of those. And what I mean by as little as possible is to prop up the status quo. We do not want you to change the system. We do not want you to think about the system. We do not want you to think about our approaches or our tactics. We do not want you to put any effort, brain power, thought into any of those things. Do not let it even creep into your mind. All that we want you to do is to barely, just barely, maintain the system and keep that chair warm. Those are the folks that we tended to see get promoted. Those are the folks that we tended to see get praised, and folks that brought up, hey, you know, I think this kind is not working great. Oh, demotion. Bad performance reviews that year all of a sudden. Yeah, you could get like 10 years straight of just like excellent performance reviews when you were just barely holding up the house of cards, just maintaining. But as soon as you said, I think we need to tear that down and rebuild it, no raise this year for you. Yeah, so it can. It most certainly can hurt your career, at least your prospects. And in more extreme cases, you know, back to that resistance, in a lot of places, if you are to say, or were to say, in more extreme situations, if you were to say, I don't think zero is possible, you're going to get labeled as the uncaring safety professionals, and you might get just absolutely fired right there on the spot. That's going to be basically a violation of a golden rule, not believing hard enough in this pseudo-religion of safety. You're going to be shwoo, gone. So again, things I wish that I would have known, yeah, at the time. Now, I think to the other side of that is that all that it takes with both of these is just a little bit of success. Just a little bit, a wee bit of success. And that resistance starts to shrink dramatically. Those folks that labeled you, dismissed you, or even maybe tried to hurt your career with that stuff, kind of going after trying to do things differently and do it for the right reasons, just to make things better, they eat crow real fast. Yeah, when you start to show and generate success. And that's that success by doing. Yeah, let me just, I'll show you. I'm going to take the risk. And if it doesn't work out, okay. But if it does, I'm going to scream it from the mountaintops how well this works. And there you go. Yeah, there you go. It's hard to argue with success. It's hard to argue when folks are coming forward and saying, hey, this is so much better than what we've ever dealt with before. I could actually tell you guys stuff. How crazy is that? I would have never. We had 27 events last year that we did not report. And now I'm happy to report them to you. It's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue with that. But it is. It is dangerous. I think that you need to understand that, if I'm being real with you. It is dangerous. I remember when I first started this and then eventually found a partner in crime. I think I was assigned a partner in crime with the thought that the partner in crime would help keep me out of crime.
Crimes against the organization.
For the organization, to their dismay, to only realize that my partner in crime was just as criminal as I was. What that means, what I'm really trying to say, is that we thought very much alike on this stuff. And we had a very synergistic effect on each other driving this stuff that much farther. But I remember when we first started having these conversations, when we first met each other, we kind of developed this bit of a pact. Yeah, this bit of a pact with each other that was kind of, you know, cheers. Hold on. I've got two glass mugs in my office, so I'll make some sound effects for us. You ready? We've got our cups up. I don't mind getting fired doing the right thing. If you don't mind getting fired doing the right thing. Hold on. That didn't sound very good. There we go. They're ceramic mugs. They don't sound very good. But that, yeah, you got to kind of be willing to roll with it. Yeah. And what I'm saying is you got to be willing to break from the company line. You got to be willing to break from the company narrative. You got to be willing to break from, but that's what the executives want. And if you say anything that the executive won't like, then you might get fired. Cool. Fire me. You've got to be okay with it. It's scary. It's dangerous. But you got to be okay with it. Now, and another part of this too, is don't get me wrong. You got to make some strategery. You got to make some strategic calls. You got to realize that some places you have to say, okay, I'm going to press pause because I need to live to work another day because tomorrow I get another chance at doing this. Of course. But somewhere deep down there in your belly, you got to be like, I'm cool with it. If I get fired doing the right thing, I'm fine. Absolutely fine with it because I will walk across the street and get a job at one of your competitors like that. Yeah, you got to be okay with it. Yep. Okay, the next one. It's going to be slow. Yeah, it's going to be slow. And then it's going to get crazy fast. All of a sudden, it's going to get crazy fast. And then it's going to get really, 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 really slow again. I think that's just the natural progression of this stuff. Slow, fast, slow. Yeah, I think that's kind of it. And then progress will ebb and flow with that, right? Obviously. Sometimes it's going to be really, really great. You're going to be riding that wave, and then sometimes things are going to kind of retract a bit, and you're going to start to move in a bit of the wrong direction. You have to shepherd that back into a more positive direction. You know, early on, I didn't think about that very much. I was excited because we had gone from slow to fast. We'd been pushing and pushing and pushing, and then all of a sudden, everything caught on fire in such a good way. And then things slowed. And then the organization was very quick to go, oh, where's the excitement? Where's the energy? Where are the balloons? Where are the pastries? We need pyros. We need pyros and smoke machines at the gates every day going, pew, 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 wah, wah. And it took us a minute to realize what was really happening. You have that slow work of change at the beginning. Of course it's slow. You're going around and you're changing minds. A lot of those minds, one mind at a time. And that's kind of how this happens. Duh. One conversation at a time. Until eventually, those conversations turn into more conversations. Those compound. You get that hockey stick of change where it just catches on fire. You're pushing on that snowball, and every push, every conversation, every little push adds a little bit more snow. Until you hit a point of critical mass where it rolls. And not only does it roll, but it takes off and grows and grows and grows. It gets exciting. And then when it slows again, it feels slow. We freak the F out. And I don't think we should. I don't think we should because I freaked kind of out going, okay, we suck again now. What happened? We didn't suck. What we discovered is that we did that hard, slow work of change at the beginning. And the output of that was that big, fast, sweeping change that felt fast and sweeping, but was a long time coming, the exciting part. And then when things kind of went molasses speed, molasses running down a cold wall in December speed, it wasn't actually as slow as it was that we got it. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean like got it like we're good, we reached the finish line, not like that, but we got it. Like, okay, we're in the do the work phase. And the do the work phase is slow. What I mean by the do the work phase is the learn and improve over time phase. There's not any workshop every week with that. There's not a big hearts and minds campaign with that. There's not a bunch of like crazy speakers coming in every other week, at least, with that. We were out doing learning teams and a lot of them. And we were out doing operational learning through conversational operational learning, just asking better questions, of course. And we were changing and tweaking and tuning our procedures and our process and on and on and on and on, our tactics off of that operational learning. And we were doing that every single week, week over week over week over week over week, constantly focused on getting better little by little. Every single stinking week. And we thought that sucked for some reason. Yeah, because it felt slow. Come on. I wish someone would have told me this. Yeah. Fortunately, we discovered that along the way. It's like, wait a second, we're not slow. We're not slowing down. This is good. It's good. Now, as we said before, you will uncover some of that ebb and flow kind of stuff where it's like, okay, leadership changes, things change, things get weird. But if you've been doing that do the work phase, even though it felt slow, when that leader changes, and maybe they are the exact opposite of what you were hoping for, when they come in, you might take a bit of a dent, but it's not going down because you've built it in. Folks are doing it, and they believe it, and they feel the difference, and they're not going back, and you're not going back. And when that VP rolls in there with their fancy shoes and their slacks and their brand new hard hat and says, "We're changing back to what we were," everyone's going to go, "Hell no." Good luck to you. Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So that do the work part, what have found that the output of the do the work over time part, I don't know that part ever ends. I don't think it does. But there is a certain point in that slow, oh, it's so slow. No, we're doing the work. The output of that, or at least part of the output of that, is at some point you have embedded this stuff so deeply in your organization that you don't have to talk about it anymore. And that's kind of the goal, yeah? Like, if we're always out there having to, like, rah-rah, cheer it on, pom-poms, pyros, cupcakes, banners, we're doing something wrong. You don't want it to be hop. You don't want it to be safety differently. You don't want it to be any of these things. You just want it to be the way that you do business. And the way you get to that point is by that learn and improve over time, do the work phase. That's just how you get there. Yeah. So back to the list here. You'll plan. The gods of change will laugh. And this one should be obvious. Anybody that's been around any type of change effort, you know that to be true. Your plans change quickly. Now, I've written a bunch of stuff about this over on the blog, on the website. It's buried in there under like hop this, hop that, the hop journey, all that kind of stuff. Just based on my personal experiences, and there's 100 different ways that people talk about this stuff. I mean, 100 different versions, all kind of saying same similar stuff with a little bit of a different turn, a little bit of a different experience, which is good. But what I've always thought about this is that HOP's not a program to manage. It's not something that we roll out like a normal safety something or change something. So we can't treat it like one, even right out of the gate. Now, when I say that, a lot of people think, well, we're just going to wing it. And, well, no, I think you should have a bit of a plan, a bit of a roadmap. Of course you should. But you can't be married to it. You got to be willing to let that plan change based off the stuff that you learn, the stuff that you discover as you go. You're going to be a few steps into that plan, and then somebody's going to say, "Hey, why are we going to focus on this? Because that thing over there is like going to kill us. Why don't we go focus on that?" Well, duh, of course you should go focus on that. So be willing to tweak, modify, change, tune that plan over time. Now, the last one that I kind of want to talk about today, just for the sake of time, and this might be a good recurring moment to reflect on some of these things maybe. Let me know, thehotnote@gmail.com, if you'd like to hear more of these, the things I wish I would have known before. The last one is outgrow the one-man band phase fast. So for me, I found myself doing this because I was the person that was doing it. To explain that a bit farther, is as I moved into a new organization, I'd already been driving this change in my old organization, in a very, very, very traditional, closed-minded organization, very, very rigid and stuck to the old way of doing things, with no interest in changing. Actually, more interest in regressing than evolving. But we put a bit of a dent in it. I don't know that you can do much more than leave things a bit better than how you found them. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good goal, a realistic goal. Just leave it better than how you found it. But as I moved into my new organization, I was coming out of the gate swinging. And not in a bad way, not like this is dumb and what are you, but no, of course not. Really spending time understanding where they were at, understanding how they ended up where they were at, how all this makes sense, yeah. But then very quickly pushing buttons and challenging respectfully about the way that we were doing things. And you do that enough, somebody eventually higher up in the organization, especially if they have a little bit of this do things differently bend to them, they're going to come along and say, okay, go do it. And that's kind of what I was gifted. Now, I ran with this for some months and months and some more months before I realized that I needed help. Like, I needed to start to bring in people and not bring them in as much from outside the organization. I used consultants and I used folks that I knew were going to do things right, you know, for us in our organization, that were bringing in the right message, not this watered down message of like, well, we're mostly traditional, but now we call it hop and now we're a consulting firm and now we sell traditional safety labeled as hop. Not those folks. Those are plenty out there. But like good ones, of course I use those folks. But what I really mean is like those folks that are already in my organization, those, some people call them hop champions, advocates, evangelists. We called it our hop army. Yeah. Now, I'd already knew a lot of these folks because as we started doing this change, it really started with conversations before it ever got to the point of like, hey, you go do this. I already had some of this group developed. I started to lean on those folks more. I need your help. I would spend time helping to craft actual hop practitioner roles in our organizations. Look, I get it. Like, I don't know that you have to have one. I don't know that you need one or two or none. But I'm not so convinced that like we need like a whole bunch of safety people either. And don't get me wrong. Don't get mad at me, safety people, at least by the same logic, because the logic that we'll use is like, well, this should just be natural. We don't need hot people. We'll just, but just like with safety, there is a work burden and you can't just spread that around to folks, at least immediately, and say, here, go. Everybody just does extra. That doesn't work very well. There is the work of change, the work of hop, just as there's the work of safety. That's a whole other side conversation, right, with that wonderful paper from Dave and all those other folks, the safety of work versus safety work, right, those kind of things, yeah. But there is a work burden, is what I'm saying. And if you're trying to one-man band it, you're going to get burned out, and you're going to get burned out fast. So this is the moment where I want to pause and talk to my senior leaders out there. I know you're out there. Many of you talk to me. Now, many of you might not admit that you listen to this podcast in public, and that's okay. I understand. But let me whisper in your ear for a second. When you're driving this change, when you're bringing this stuff about in your organization, take extra care of those folks. Really, that person or that little small group of folks that you have tasked and you are supporting going out and doing this stuff. Make sure they got plenty of time. Make sure they got help. Make sure you clear up some of their other responsibilities so they can really focus on this, because they're passionate about this stuff if they're doing it almost always. You didn't just give this to anybody. You gave this to somebody that's already pumped for it. And what that means is that they're not going to fail at their other job, but now they've got a second job. So now they're doing two jobs. So now they're not working 8 hours. And you might only see them work 8 hours, but they're working more like 18 because they're going home and working on this stuff to make sure that they're successful with both. Make sure that you give those folks room, yeah, resources, yep, grace, yeah, all that stuff. Just take care of them. Yeah, okay, so back out of whispering in your ear. Don't one-man band it. You might have to at first, but whether it's your safety peers that are open to these ideas or pumped for these ideas like you are, it doesn't have to be. Maybe it's that senior leader that you know thinks this way too. Maybe it's that frontline employee that thinks this way too, or that site manager that thinks this way too. I think back to that little group of folks that we formed, and they were from all over the map. And life was much, much better, much better. When one man band Sam stopped being one man band Sam, and he had a bass player and a couple drummers, had two. Yeah, it was like experimental. We had two drummers. How cool is that? And a guitar player. I think there was even an accordion player. Yeah, it was an auto harp. Yeah, it was way better. It was way, 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 way better. So those are the things that again, just reflecting loosely on these things that I wanted to share with you today, things that I know that I wish that someone would have told me or that I knew when we started our hop journey, and in particular when I started leading hop internal to an organization. The resistance will be fierce. It's going to be slow. Then crazy fast, then crazy slow. You'll plan, God will laugh. Outgrow the one-man band phase and outgrow it fast. Yep, put up posters for bass players. Yep, do it. And you'll get labeled, dismissed, and maybe even hurt your career by going down that path. Now, none of this, sharing none of this is to scare you. It's just to tell you the truth, that change is always hard. It's always hard. And especially if you're the person driving, especially if it's drastic and way different. But it's so worth it. I'm happy to have done everything I've done, even not knowing this stuff. I would still do it. I'll still do it backwards and blindfolded because we needed to get someplace better. Of course I would. But hopefully that helps you a bit as you start thinking about that, especially if you're early on in your journey. And if you've gone through this journey for years, as such as I have, and especially internal to an organization, I would love to hear from you, hear what your journey was like. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. Maybe we'll even get you on the podcast and chat about it. How about that? And now let me know what you thought about this little different section here of reflecting on those things. Maybe it's something that I'll do again in the future, because I know I can probably write at least another 20. We'll see what happens. Well, that's all I've got for you today. I'm going to finish up my coffee. I've got about 47 videos to edit, and I've got to do about 4,700 emails, and I'm going to donate blood today. I got to get the heck out of here really soon, and I'm going to get ready to travel, and I've got a virtual event coming. It's busy, but I always cherish this little bit of time that we get to spend together. So until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. For listening, everybody, we greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.